Then, back into the admin portion of the meeting. I will reconvene the commission for the admin portion of the meeting. Let's see. We have no items on consent. So, we will move right into the discussion items. And we don't have any scheduling, which is hooray. I do have one other item to add to discussion that I just thought of as we were talking. And it will be should be pretty short, but we'll start with Conrad and the internet hybrid auctions letter.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
This is not a regularly scheduled meeting, so.
It isn't?
No.
Why, because we delayed it? Oh, geez. All right. Well.
That's so Scandinavian of you.
What?
Oh, Jesus. Oh.
I said it was regularly scheduled at the beginning of the meeting. Doesn't that make it so?
Good try, though.
Oh, shoot. All right. Well, we might have to have a work session, then I'll talk to you about what it is.
Well, we can do that on schedule.
Okay.
We can add schedule.
All right.
Your new name may be Margie.
Bye, Dave. Okay, Conrad, take it away.
Very good. Well, I always hate being the last person between between an important event like lunch, so I'll just make it short and sweet. Back in August, the commission had a work session regarding internet and hybrid auction scenarios, the different sales that the staff has been encountering. We provided a couple of different scenarios and staff's interpretation of whether those would be, fall under the umbrella of the commission's jurisdiction. And so at that meeting, the commission directed staff to draft a letter to send to all auctioneers and clerks, just reiterating the jurisdictional area of the commission. So that's what's attached. And we worked this through legal in addition to the portfolio holder as well. But since it was directed by the commission, wanted to bring it before the commission to make sure if there's any edits or revisions you'd like to see prior to staff sending this out.
Okay. Anybody? Randy, you've already worked on it. So I had two thoughts, but you go ahead.
Well, I have, and staff did a very good job. I didn't recommend very many changes. A couple more emphasis added things, and I can't remember, there's one other little explanation of something, but I just wanted to kind of commend Conrad and Shelley and Jack, I think, or whoever all worked on it. I hope we're not missing
Stacy as well. We did have Stacy.
I think it's pretty good and explains what is, I think, going to really surprise a lot of our auctioneering community, especially the ones that maybe aren't real active in the, at all, or specifically in the internet auction world, and realize all the potential competitors that the traditional auctioneers have. They probably don't think of eBay as being a competitor too much, even though that was discussed a decade or more ago when the law made clear that we don't regulate exclusively internet auctions. That was sort of what caused that law to be put into place, because, you know, what would we do about them? And so the law made clear if it's exclusively internet, then we don't regulate them. Well, now we have a whole bunch of our traditional auctioneers doing some traditional auction sales, some hybrid auction sales, and some exclusively internet sales. And so, according, you know, whether this is a good move or not, according to the law, I don't see any way that we can regulate the sales when they don't allow in-person bidder there. That's just the reality. And so, yes, does this open one of our licensees up to competition from someone who didn't bother going to auction school, probably, you know, may not have the moral character and the things that we require of an auctioneer, and just come in and not open the door to anyone, and so now they can compete without the kind of expectations that we have of our auctioneers? That's the reality, but that's what the law is. And I think whether some might really dislike that this is how things have evolved according to the law, I think the most important thing is that they understand it. And this letter, I think, clarifies it about as well as could be done.
exactly, okay. Commissioner. And just the door's been open since that exemption's been put in place, so this isn't really opening a door. It might be more of just bringing some awareness to this as well. And the other area that staff wanted to make sure is understood is that, you know, anybody that's consigning items to an internet-only sale, you know, there's no bond protection afforded to that individual. And that's the other thing that we want to make sure, that there's truth in advertising, truth in understanding what, you know, if they're saying that, well, I've got a surety bond, but they're only doing an internet-only sale, understanding that that is exempt and that wouldn't be covered under that surety bond. And so making sure that that point is made as well.
That reminds you, that was one of my recommendations that I thought was important on the second page, the last sentence of the first full paragraph, was that we discourage identifying an auction or auction clerk license for activities involving internet auctions, so as not to confuse people that, oh, well, I know the PSC has bond requirements and such, because they're just not there.
Okay, good. So that's one of the areas that I, the discourage word, I was going to ask if we could say prohibits.
I'm not exactly sure we can. That might be an area for more study and a potential legislative update.
Okay. Anyway, I think it's really an important point. So I would prefer prohibit if we can say that. But back up, just a few other quick little things from me, sure. Conrad. Always trying to read our stuff from the viewpoint of being not person in government.
The audience.
So I absolutely despise references to the NDCC, blah, 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 especially sentences that lead with that. But I think it's still important to clue it, so I would just change that, and I would start that second paragraph with, an internet auction is, quote, the selling, blah, 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 emphasis added, and then put NDCC, the reference there, and then same kind of with the second. I would say, furthermore, per the law, a person conducting, you know, just how you have it there, and then put the reference again at the end of that sentence, okay. So they don't have to start reading, because I think it's just a barrier to wanting to read what's following when you see all those letters and numbers and stuff that doesn't make sense to folks. So that would be my suggestion there.
Okay.
And then on the back page, there is a sentence that is not clear to me. So it says, please note, third to the last paragraph, if you're conducting auction sales that fall under the commission's authority and sales that do not fall under the commission's authority, the license standard for holding an auctioneer auction clerk license remains the same. What are we trying to say there?
What that's getting at is that we've had some instances where we have an auctioneer that is doing, you know, that has a license with us and is conducting both types of auction sales. We receive complaints about the internet side of their business. Now, while that's not under the jurisdiction, what this means is that, you know, the licensing standard is still there. You have to bear a good reputation for honesty and truthfulness. And quite frankly, in staff's viewpoint, in some of these complaints, and we spoke to the auctioneer about them, is that some of the things that you're doing do not seem to be above board. And while we don't have jurisdiction over your internet business, that does bring a bearing onto your ability to have an auctioneer license under the honesty and truthfulness and fair dealing.
Okay, so I don't, when I read that sentence, that's not what I hear.
Okay.
So maybe we can talk about a better way to phrase that.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay. I'll try it, and then you can share it back with them. But something simple like, you know, even if you're conducting an internet auction, you're still, like, but they aren't subject to. The commission expects, or who, is it illegal, or is it just an expectation that they follow the same standards of conduct, or?
It's a general licensing, I mean, I don't want to say general. Because it is a licensing requirement that they are truthful
but
and honest.
But not for internet auctions.
Well, that's in any aspect of any business that they would have. I mean, if somebody had a, you know, slew of Better Business complaints or AG complaints on consumer protection and wanted an auctioneer license, that certainly would bring bearing on whether they would qualify for an auctioneer license if we see a lot of issues with how they've conducted themselves in other facets of
okay.
their business relationships.
So
does
your
that make
conduct
sense?
As an internet auction could affect your, something like that effect, could affect your ability to meet the requirements under the, you know, the regular standard auctioneer requirements. Be aware your conduct as an internet auctioneer can and will affect your ability to receive and maintain an auctioneer's, a standard auctioneer's license from the commission or something like that.
Okay. And if I may suggest, maybe we could even generalize it a little more, because it really could do with any business venture they may be involved in outside of auctions that bring bearing on their you know,
okay.
You could say that your conduct in any business, you know, or, you know, facet.
You should have specifically referenced internet auctions, though, because
okay.
that's probably what you've been hearing and
right.
other, you know, business dealings can affect your licensing as your licensing on jurisdictional auctions with the commission or something to that effect.
Okay.
Okay, that was it for me.
Conrad, I have one question.
Certainly.
What do you think the expiration date is on how it's written? And let me frame that up. It's evolving, and online auctions are not going to be less prominent. They're going to be more prominent. Virtually a component of any major machinery auction these days. In fact, I don't know the last time I haven't. And granted, that's so you've got the on-site, but some of them are just they're just straight online auctions. There is no you know, on location mechanism to place a bid. You have to do it online. So just looking out, when do you think we'll be circling back and tweaking these? Or do you think they'll stand the test of time?
As far as if we would take up internet auction regulation,
yeah.
I would say that's a steep mountain to climb, in the sense that I know the commission spearheaded having the exemption in there of the internet exemption, and that's based on how do you effectively regulate that when you're dealing with in-state, out-of-state, internet hosting services, where's the physical location of the equipment, and all that comes into bearing that it's a jurisdictional mess based
right.
on in-state, out-of-state. Truthfully, I don't know how you would regulate an internet portion of that based on those things, and it can be a difficult area to say, you know, is that effective in regulation? It could always be put in the law, but can you actually be effective in that without having interstate issues coming into play? It would be difficult.
Would that be a legislative move in terms of licensing requirements?
Correct.
It's
in the statute, not administrative code, so it would have to go before the legislature. For
that. Right.
And
right.
if they did pass something, they would have us regulating a group of people, the internet-only auctions, most of whom we don't have any jurisdiction over. An internet auction service in Nebraska and North Dakota, a person goes on the website and bids. What are we going to do with that person?
Right. Well, I think we just have to be open to the fact that it's changing fairly rapidly. And I think the pandemic accelerated the transition in many ways. And sooner or later, someone's going to come before the commission saying, I bid on that item in Nebraska. And now I'm out, you know, call it a large ticket item, and I'm out 35, 40, 50,000, whatever, or something wasn't represented properly. And you can always go back saying, well, you should have, you know, done things differently, et cetera. But that's going to happen at some point in time. And then the question will be raised then, and I think that's when the legislature reacts to someone just got stung really badly, and we've seen that in other instances, and then you change the law. But if there's a way for us to, I just think it's important that we consider that and we keep thinking about how this is going to evolve and what our role should be. and protecting consumers.
So. One of the big things there is awareness, probably, Brian. I think you make a good point. And so maybe when we send, this might be a stretch, but I haven't thought through this idea, so it could be a bad one. but as we're sending this letter out, perhaps it's worth a news release just to say, you know, maybe it gets picked up, maybe it doesn't, but just sort of the commission is clarifying its jurisdiction on auctioneers, what we do and do not cover, and just send it out as a news release and see if we can get any media to do a story about it, just to get the word out beyond the licensees to the public using the auctions.
Yeah, we can message this to the auctioneers, but that would be the way to get it to the people that, guess what, whether it's eBay or an online auction, if there's not a option for presence, none of the rules apply.
Yeah.
You're on your own for protecting yourself.
And as people are buying holiday gifts, and blah, blah, I mean, I think we could even tie it into the upcoming, we could loop it into the upcoming shopping season and tie it in that way, that just as a service to the public, beware that these are non-regulated venues.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'll work with Stacy on that and put together a draft to get to the commissioners. And then what I'll do, I'll make those editorial changes you suggested, Commissioner Fedorchuk, on page one with the NDC's references. And I understand that. It's kind of a barrier to being able to get that stuff out there. And with the, you know, I just want to circle back. I know we're going to be reworking that almost that middle paragraph begins with please note on that page. What would be the commission's preference for circling back on that? Is it okay if I work strictly with the portfolio holder just to revise that way that sentence reads in there? And would that be acceptable to the commission? Work with Stacy and then the portfolio holder on that? We can go from there.
I'm good with that. I don't need to see it again.
And I think the one that's more essential on the prohibits versus discourages, that was my thought too at the beginning. And maybe we never finalized that discussion. But Brian, are you okay with making that prohibits too, if we have that authority under law?
Yeah.
And I don't think we do, so I think it's going to stay discourages. But if we can change it and actually not get slapped down.
Yeah.
So we will.
Maybe we just put strongly discourages and on the cusp of prohibiting.
Would prohibit if we could.
Fair. I will shop that through legal.
Good.
As well.
You might want to get a second opinion on that language.
we'll find the strongest possible verb.
Good.
Fair enough.
Thanks, Conrad.
Strenuously.
Absolutely. And I do anticipate that this will, you know, to reference back to Commissioner Krosh's comments regarding how internet auctions are perceived, I fully anticipate that this will generate a lot of phone calls and potential legislative contacts with the agency as well. So we may see how that vets out. And that's all right. It's all in the air of trying to clarify things. So, okay.
Very good. Thank you, Conrad. So we'll go down to scheduling, and then I can tell you what I was interested in seeing if you guys wanted feedback into. I'm guessing you do, but on Monday we've been asked to present to the Government Administration Committee on the agency's need for attorneys, the number of attorneys, the type of work they perform, etc., from 10:50 to 11:05. I plan on presenting on behalf of the commission. I think we all, if we can, should be there, but that's just my opinion. And since we can't talk about it right now, do you guys want to have a work session to discuss the strategy? Do you want to just take a look at the... Jack has a draft. He and I have talked about it. I have thoughts. We can get you that draft, and you can make your thoughts there. But what I was hoping to do today is talk about, get your guys' just tones, ideas on tone and overall approach, and then incorporate that in on the front end, because this is a really important thing for us to weigh in on correctly. So should we have a work session to discuss it, I guess is the question.
Well, I have a question tied to that, but I think it would enter into, it would be it's arguably a point of discussion.
Yeah.
So I can't ask it. I mean, it's a simple question that would answer whether a work session is needed or not, from my standpoint.
Well, why don't you talk to Jack, and you can tell Steve if you want a work session, or in.
Yep.
Or maybe Randy wants one, and we can just go ahead with scheduling one.
The problem is, because there was nothing on schedule, I didn't bring my scheduling stuff, so I'm not sure of my schedule. But I did make some recommendations to Jack on things that I thought were important to point out that would be persuasive.
Okay.
And so I'm willing to
just let that
work with staff on getting a work session set up if you want, or just communicating with Jack.
Madam Chair, we do have 2 1-hour slots held currently. We could use one of those for a personnel meeting and one of them for this, if you would like to do that.
Sure. Is one of them tomorrow afternoon at 4, I think?
I believe so.
We also have a meeting. Oh, yeah, I'm tied up after this meeting today.
And then
okay, let's do this. Brian can get an answer to his question. If he does want to, then let's, if that means we should have a work session, let's use the 4 o'clock tomorrow event or time block for a work session on this issue. And then we can do the personnel thing on Friday morning. The other block that you have.
Yep.
All right. Does that work?
Yeah, it works.
Oh, right. Do you guys want to go to that? I think we should talk about that at the... Yep. Let's talk about that. We don't know yet.
Doesn't hurt to notice it, though, does it? I don't think it hurts to notice it, though, does it?
True.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then, that's it for scheduling. Anything else for the good of the order? If hearing nothing... We are adjourned. All righty.